Aidan Herlin. Good morning, Aidan. Or good afternoon, Aidan.
Good morning, John. And, yes, it is afternoon. Thank you for having me on.
No, you're more than welcome. You're author of a new book on Ardkillan Castle, and it's a wonderful castle. I've seen it. Just give us a little bit of background to yourself first, Aidan, and then we'll talk about this new book.
Well, I'm a retired primary school principal. I taught in Donnymead for a long time, so not too far away from where you're based.
Yeah, it's just
I spent my professional life in the classroom after working in the ESB for a couple of years, which didn't really suit me. So the classroom was where I naturally felt quite at home. And probably from that, a permanent interest in history and teaching history was part always of what I did. So it was natural then when I retired that I went to do a voluntary tour guide in Ardkillan Castle, and from that spawned the particular book that we're talking about.
Right, and there's a lot of photography in this book, I believe.
Yeah, I have a photographer friend, Eamon O'Daly. He does the outdoor studio. He lives quite close to me here, and took a huge interest in what I was doing. Probably the idea of the book came about from a historical novel I did 3 years ago based on a Waterloo drummer from the Inniskilling Regiment, the only Irish regiment afoot present at Waterloo. And I've been fascinated with drums and with military drumming. And when I realised that the Inniskillings were there and my mother was from Inniskilling, it was natural then that that would be the drummer. They actually have a drum in Ardkillan belonging to the Donard Infantry, the old Donard Infantry militia drum going back to the late 1700s, early 1800s, the volunteer period. And that was the drum that I used on the cover of the book. But obviously the name wasn't on it. But from that came interest in what was the drum on the cover. So I wrote a short article in Skerry's News based on the drum that was in Ardkillan and research I'd done on it. From that then came an interest in the other things that are in Ardkillan, which I then proceeded to write for the Skerry's News. I contributed an article each fortnight for the calendar year 2016, and then from that came this reworked, totally revised collection, and where the initial photographs I had taken for the Skerry's News magazine were far from up to scratch to go into a book that I was ambitious to do. That's where Eamon O'Daly came in, a professional photographer, huge interest in Ardkillan as well, and he just bought into the whole project with me, and that's why the book just, I think, looks amazing because of Eamon's absolutely fantastic photographs.
Yeah, and it's Ardkillan Castle Revealed. Would you just tell the listeners a little bit about the history of Ardkillan Castle?
Initially, Ardkillan Castle was called Prospect House. It was built in 1738 for a reverend, a Church of Ireland reverend called Robert Taylor. And he was linked to the Taylors from near Kells, just outside Kells, where they had their particular headquarters in Headford House, which is now a private school. And he, like his big brother, who was the Marquess, he decided that he wanted to own land and look at his own pedigree, cattle and horses being raised. And he cobbled together four town lands between Skerry's and Balbriggan and built his house on a marvellous height, overlooking the whole of Dublin Bay, a north-facing house with a totally unique aspect, as you'll see from the cover of the book. And that was where he built his house, and he lived there until he died in 1744. Childless, and then the house reverted to the ownership of his big brother, the Marquess of Headford. Now, they used it as a summer house until the early 1800s, when the Marquess's younger brother, the Reverend Henry Edward, got married and moved in there with his wife, Marianne St. Ledger, and her family were from Donnerail and Cork, and that house is now in the ownership of OPW. So they raised their family there, and that was the first family then to be reared in Ardkillan. And Ardkillan then remained in Taylor ownership until 1962, when the last resident Taylor sold. It was bought by a German family by the name of Pott, and they lived there for 20 years. And then Fingal County Council bought it. And from there, the house then and the surviving estate, or the surviving demesne, was made available to the public. And it is, at the moment, one of the most visited sites in North County Dublin, mostly for the grounds. And that's why we, as tour guides and people involved in the house, are particularly interested in getting people into the house itself.
Yeah, are you
still... The reason, by the way, for the word revealed is that there are parts of the house that at the moment are not accessible to the public. And also the then senior superintendent of parks, Michael Lynch, working with William Kearney, had bought a lot of William Kearney's collections of artefacts and they too are housed in Ardgillan, but most not on show to the public yet, and hence the purpose of the book. The proceeds of the book, by the way, all it's a pro bono on our part, the proceeds of the book go totally to the display of heritage in Ardgillan.
Yeah, and the upkeep, it goes towards the upkeep of the castle as well, I believe.
Well, the first thing they had to do was to retain the house and secure it against any further deterioration. Kenure House in Rush would be typical of the type of houses that we're talking about, or like Frascati in Blackrock, or St. Anne's, Ardilaun House in St. Anne's. These are houses, period houses, that you know, could well, in, you know, maybe 10, 15, 20 years later, could well have been maintained, at least preserved, so that they can be made available to the public. So it was very, very farsighted on Fingal County Council's part, owning already Malahide Castle and also Newbridge House, to add Ardgillan to their heritage portfolio. So the three houses now, say, starting with Malahide, out to Newbridge House in Donabate, and then on to Ardgillan. The three of them are now in the ownership of Fingal County Council. And I would have to say, lovingly maintained grounds, and the house as well, being available to the public. We're trying to extend its benefit to the public. You know, mostly, this is the purpose of the book.
Yeah.
To try to let people see what's in the house, and then to realise its full potential, and then also to put the marvellous collections that are in there on show and make them available to the public, and not just have them on display at times, where, say, when guides like myself actually put them on display and give a presentation on their use or on their history for, you know, for people who are interested.
Yeah, and you mentioned the grounds there, and the grounds are actually beautiful, very beautiful, especially if you have the weather.
I think everyone who walks into the what they call the middle gate up at the top, and then they look at the sweep of the grounds, it's like an arena. I mean, the sweep of the ground down to the sea, and the house planted in the environment, then the Dublin Bay, and then the mountains of Mourne in the background and the Cooley Hills. I mean, it's an amazing, unique site for an ascendancy house.
It is. It's beautiful. Now, is this book available in all bookshops, or is it just for sale?
No, it's slowly getting out. I mean, it was only launched a month ago.
Yeah.
It's slowly getting out. Probably the closest to you at the moment that it's in would be in Bookhaven and Swords. But it's in each of the outlets in Skerries and in Balbriggan. It's in Easton's in Balbriggan. It's in Hannah's and Rathmines. And as I say, once people see it, they're saying, where can we get it? And then bookshops have been getting in touch with us. And then Fingal has been receiving phone calls as well, asking, why is the book not available locally? So that's why we've been trying to get it out now. But like I say, this is an individual enterprise. We're trying to do this on behalf of the house. But I have to say, the Fingal have been marvellously supportive. They sponsored the book. But a lot of work went into its production, there's equally a lot of work trying to get it out, because when people see it, they just feel this is an ideal Christmas present. And as I say, Eamon's photographs just make this book an absolute knockout. And I can't take credit for the photographs, so I can say that modestly.
Yeah.
I don't have to be modest about that. Yeah. Eamon's photographs are just astonishing.
Well, it sounds and looks fantastic. And thank you very much for telling us all about it, Aidan.
Not at all. You're most welcome.
Is there anything you'd like to add before we go?
Well, no, like I said, it probably will be of interest that on the day of the launch, Pat Kenny launched it, and on that particular day, representatives of all ownerships of the house were present. Terence and Lindy Taylor. Terence lived there until he was about 19. He came as a small infant, a babe in arms, from Singapore, where his parents lived, and his father inherited the house. So he came as an infant in arms and lived there till he was 19. And it was his father then who sold the house. When the Germans bought it, the Pott family, Heinrich Pott himself died within a short number of years of ownership. The family maintained it for 20 years. But at the book launch in early November, Terence and Lindy, Terence is an elderly gentleman now, but Terence and Lindy were present. And the granddaughter of Heinrich Pott, Bettina, was there. So all three representatives of the ownerships of the house, Fingal County Council, Bettina, originally Potts, granddaughter of Heinrich, and then Terence and Lindy, Terence who grew up there, they were all present in the house on the night. So it must have been a marvellous occasion for them to see that the house is still being celebrated. And, you know, certainly, as I say, Fingal are doing everything they can now to promote it.
Yeah, it sounds like a great, fantastic, and it sounds like a wonderful book. And as you say, make a nice Christmas present.
We think it's ideal.
Yeah, and it's Ardgillan Castle Revealed, and it's by Aidan J.
Ardgillan Castle Revealed, because, we are showing parts of the castle, like the laundry area or the servants' quarters or the passageway around the house. What we've done is we've shown, or the wine cellar, we've shown parts of the house and also some of the collections within the house that are not yet on show or not yet up to the public. But like I say, our aspiration is that we will actually realise that, and that the public will get to see our Gillan in all its former glory, with access all areas, as they say, but also the marvellous collections that are in the house, that they too will be available fully to the public.
Great.
So that's the intention of the book.
Yeah, great. And as you say, great photography by Eamon O'Daly.
Well, the outdoor studio, I mean, well known locally here. I mean, his photography courses and workshops always full out, fully booked, and I'm not at all surprised. Eamon was a joy to work with. I can say that as a friend and neighbour, knowing that when he hears that, he'd be quite chuffed. I won't have him knocking at it. But like I say, I haven't seen photography like this in the book before. Yeah. It is just amazing, and that is not an idle boast. That is true, and I can't take any credit for that. He's the maestro.
Okay. Listen, thanks very much for taking the call. I know it sounds very, very interesting.
Not at all, John. You're more than welcome. More than welcome.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, that was Aidan J. Hearn there, author of Ardgillan Castle Revealed.